And as we walk through the Christian life serving the Lord, we want to have His mind. We do that through His Word and by prayer, looking unto Jesus. It's also called meditation, just dwelling on the Lord's Word. That's something that's vital in your life. And if you're going to enjoy what we read of here in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, you need to meditate. Take time in those things that are in the Lord. Would you turn to John 15:7? And here's something that is, I don't think anybody in this meeting would not already be aware of. But it's so important to us. Where the Lord Jesus said, and I wonder why He put the if in. Why did Jesus put the if in that text? Because too often we don't do it. Too often it's not real to us. If ye abide in me, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. But too often, even the Lord's disciples, the Lord's people, do not fulfill that requirement.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and I just have a few seconds to introduce things here today. We're going to have why I like my new old King James Bible, and we're looking today at being strong in the Lord by meditating on His Word. There's a correlation between our life of faith and our use of God's Word. So stay tuned as we let the Bible speak.
We need the mind of the Lord. We need to abide in Him. And the Lord needs to have your faith. Let's think about faith for a moment. Faith that operates by the Spirit, building confidence in the person, the goodness, the grace, the love of Jesus. That's the faith life. That's the enjoyment of knowing the Savior. And the Bible tells us that faith works by love. Faith works by love. And you fall in love with the Lord. You love Him. And the more that you love and the more that you enjoy the fellowship and communion of the Lord, the stronger, the quicker your faith will be. And that's why in the Bible over and over and over we're called to believe and be not filled with doubt, O ye of little faith. And the Lord seeks to have our faith fixed and focused in Him. So each of these, all of these things we've been talking about here under this heading, it comes to our personal communion with the Lord. If you don't have that, can you expect to have power? Can you expect to have the victory? Can you really say that you will enjoy the sufficiency that is in the Lord Jesus? And yet you are not abiding, not focusing, building up your confidence in the Lord. These things are basic. These things are the ABCs of the Christian life. And that's why the apostle puts them here. Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, so we've had be strong doctrinally, be strong personally. Thirdly, we come to be strong spiritually. You might say, but how can you add that one on? I use this heading to speak of the second part of the text. Let's get back to it now. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So you're abiding in Him, you're united to Him, you are building your confidence in Him. And then it goes on to say, and in the power of His might. Now, that is spiritual power. Weymouth, who gives a general help, I wouldn't call it a faithful translation, but it's certainly a help to understand a difficult text. He says in the text, in conclusion, strengthen yourselves in the Lord and in the power which His supreme might imparts. So we're talking here about the power of His might. It's talking about the grace that flows out of the Savior into His people. Spiritual power. We're talking about Christ being full of grace. He's the reservoir. And into every one of His believing people flows His grace to equip, to enable, to empower us to live as we ought to live for the Savior. And that leaves every one of us without excuse. We can't say, oh, but I felt weak. But there is power available to us. And it's in and through and in union with the Lord Jesus. Now, you see, the truth of the gospel is to become a reality in our souls. And that's why I call this spiritual power. There's a channel that carries the spiritual power of the Lord right into your heart and your soul so that you can say no to sin and you can do and obey the commands of the Lord in His power, not your own. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And oh, that we, every one of us, enjoyed that power within our souls. Now, I won't finish this sermon anyway, so I'm going to take time here to deal with this grace, this reservoir, this fullness that is in the Lord Jesus, which we ought to seek and enjoy flowing into our hearts. Would you turn to John chapter 1 and verse 14? John 1, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there's the statement that Jesus is full of grace and truth. You don't need to go to anyone else. You don't need a new program. You don't need a new organization or institution. You must find this fullness that is in the Lord Jesus. And then as you read on, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, because he was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, grace for grace. Now that's an unusual doubling of the term. And usually in the Bible, when you have a doubled up term, it's not just twice as good or twice as much. It is an endless flowing. It is a continual ongoing process. And the Christian life is not about lying down defeated under temptation. It is about standing up in the strength of the Lord hour by hour, little victory by little victory, overcoming today that I may overcome tomorrow. Each victory will help you a battle to win, or the battle to win. And the Lord gives you that grace. And so as we abide in the Lord, as we live in prayer, as we live in fellowship with Him, we will know a portion of grace. Now, I put it that way because I'm only a vessel. I'm only a clay vessel. And I'm finite. I can only hold so much. The Lord's infinite. He has all resources. And He imparts and He diffuses that power as we draw from Him, so that we truly live enjoying fresh grace. And so the ability to say no this morning, I need to stay on my knees that I can say no even this evening. And each day
is a day of dependency on the Lord, absolute dependency. We never cease to confess our own weakness. We never cease to confess our own inabilities. And we must continually and daily, constantly draw our all from the Lord. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. How does this happen? How does a Christian receive this grace, this enabling power? Well, let's look at Acts 1, verse 8 here. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And so the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, is to be invited. He is to be called upon to pour into your heart this power which comes from the Lord Jesus. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Power to witness, power to live the Christian life, power to say no to sin, power, God's power, but it comes through God the Holy Spirit. Now, how much emphasis do you put upon the Holy Spirit in your Christian life? When's the last time you really prayed, Lord, I open my heart to the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm not Pentecostal, and I'm not charismatic, and I'm not losing my orthodoxy. This is biblical, genuine, spiritual power that we don't have in ourselves. And we've got to stop strutting about saying, but I'm a free Presbyterian. I know things. I'm blessed. I'm helped. Rubbish. We'll be just like Peter, as weak as water when the tempter comes. No matter how much we boast in ourselves, we need to live in full dependency on the flowing and the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now, is this biblical? Well, let's go to Ephesians again, chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3, 16, and you'll see the prayer of the Apostle Paul. Now we're back in the same book where he talked about putting on the Christian armor, but here in the doctrinal section of the book, chapter 3, verse 16, you have the Apostle in prayer, and he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now that's spiritual. And that's the inner you. That's the new nature. And the Holy Spirit's vital in this work. And you must not deny him. You must not grieve him. You must not neglect him. You must constantly in prayer be calling upon the Lord Jesus to give you the promise of the Holy Spirit in your own life, in your own heart. And without that, confess, but Lord, I can't live as you call me to live. That this is a desperate need and dependency upon the Lord. Now, I'm going to jump to another point here, and that is that it comes down to strong in the Lord. We must know the Lord practically. Practically. I want to give you a little bit of advice that Martin Lloyd-Jones gave to English Christians during the times of the Keswick movement. Keswick movement was a little bit of a second blessing movement where they preached, let go and let God. That was their big theme. And many young Christians were told, and it started out as a youth camp and a youth conference, and it built and built into a very significant movement in England way back in 1960s, 70s. Martin Lloyd-Jones, his ministry continued right up into the 1980s, and he was warned against this whole Keswick idea of let go and let God, because it tended to teach Christians that, oh, I'm now a Christian, I've got the victory, and every day will be getting better than the day before. Well, Martin Lloyd-Jones warned against that, as did an old Scottish preacher who said, it will be
and his Scottish brogue, it will be a grey battle to the end. And every day is a new day. It's a new challenge. And it's a day when we need to not let go, but lay hold on God. Lay hold on God. Lay hold on the grace that is promised. Lay hold on the power that is in Christ. And seek to walk not in our own strength, but in that grace, that sufficiency that is in the Lord Jesus. And the Christian life in the New Testament is called a walk, just as Noah walked with God. Romans 8:1 says that if we walk in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And that's the need in the Christian life, to walk in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is like a dove. He is easily offended and driven away. And if we live worldly and careless, if we live in our own pride and our own strength, we might be like Samson, who for a time was given strength, but when his hair was cut, his strength was gone. Maybe every one of us here have lost our spiritual hair. We've had our hair trimmed, and we have lost the power. We need to mourn that. And we need to cry, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit afresh and give me the power to do the will of God. Now, this comes down to obedience. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey Him. Study Acts chapter 5 and you'll find it. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey Him. And as we walk in the Spirit and live in the will of God, then the Holy Spirit is given. Now, you'll notice that there's no pacifism here. There's no lying down and let the enemy walk in. We're to put on the whole armor of God. And we're to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. And you'll notice something back in Ephesians 6 here. Notice something that the apostle teaches about the available power before he calls people to put on the armor. Now, if you're signing up for the army, your question would be, can I do this? Can I really do this? And you might look at the armor and, boy, how'd I carry that? How am I going to utilize this effectively? But the Lord gives power first, and He equips us spiritually in our hearts and souls to live the Christian life. And so we get our eyes on the Lord and we draw our strength from Him, and then we do battle. Then we put on the armor, and then we go forward in the Lord. Now, dealing with pacifism, do you really believe in fighting the good fight of faith? Do you recognize that you're in a warfare and in a battle? I know that the Lord's people are called sheep, and sheep generally are not fighters. Now, it's not the first person who's had their leg broken by a mother sheep that just came and rammed him in protecting her babies. But generally, sheep are the preyed upon. They're the weaklings. And saints are like sheep. But we are called to put on the whole armor of God and enter into the battle. We're to be soldiers. Don't take the analogy of sheep and say, that's it. You're also called to be a soldier for Christ, standing strong, doing battle for Him against the enemy of your soul and against the wicked one. And the apostle goes on to talk, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on. And then he commands that we put this on. Now, I want to warn you of this. If we do not speak up, the devil will. If we do not stand up, the devil will. If we do not put on the Christian armor, the devil will use his wily tricks to ambush and destroy us. If we do not train and equip our children, the devil will. If we do not stand up for truth, the devil will speak up for his lies. There is a battle on, and we're in it. And the Lord has given us this wonderful equipment that we might be strong for the Lord. So, will you do it? Will you do it? Will you get to the place where you serve the Lord? Will you engage in spiritual warfare? Prayer, the Word of God, the Church of Christ, and do all you can to stand up for Jesus in a very evil day. I'm very burdened about the trends of our society. I've been working on a piece for our magazine this week on losing our free speech in this country. And we need to work, for the night cometh when no man can work. The opportunities, the door may close. We know now that in China that there's a tightening against Christians, especially biblical Christians. There is no friend to grace in this world. And the political agendas is really the powers of the devil, the enemy of the church, to shut down the image of Christ. That's the goal. That's the aim. And we're in this battle. I pray today that the Lord will give you that power that is in Christ to stand for him and to live for the Lord. My burden is that everyone in this church will be strong prayer warriors, strong in the scriptures, and enjoying the victory. Enjoying victory, not living a defeated Christian life, but enjoying the joy, the vitality, and the overcoming attitude that the Lord surely would promise to us.
Pastor Ian Gollaher. On today's short talk, I want to tell you about my new Bible. Well, it was my birthday and my wife stepped up to buy me a new one, for the old one was really old and beginning to fray. She thought it was time, so we went shopping for a nice new one. We found the perfect Bible, a Cambridge with good clear font on durable thin paper. A half sheet of paper fits inside the covers, which is nice to insert notes or a church bulletin. But I really want to tell you why I bought a King James Version, or an Authorized Version. So stay with me as I give you five solid reasons to stick with the KJV Bible. Well, I must say that I love my new Bible and found it hard to start marking it up for a time. But I do. I highlight and underline and circle things that I notice and will help me find them as I'm rereading or preaching. The first reason to get a KJV is that it's been around for nearly 400 years, since 1611, when it was commissioned by King James. He had nothing to do with its translation, but he did give the Puritans of his day the authority to put it out in his name to be used in his realm and kingdom. And God has ever blessed it. It is the Bible of reform, revival, and world missions. Only in this last years has it been set aside for a proliferation of other versions, which is sad to me. Secondly, it's the Bible used by our church and denomination in every pulpit and in every meeting. We have no reason to change it and confuse people with any number of Bible versions in pews. When you find the real thing, why throw it away? Thirdly, it's the Bible with all the verses in it. I know that sounds sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. What modern versions have done is to put footnotes in which will say this, oldest manuscripts omit. They don't actually take out the verses or passage referenced, but they may as well have. If you were to take the scissors and cut out all the places where the modern version's footnote with oldest versions omit, you would have a sorry Bible, especially the New Testament. Fourthly, the King James Version is based on a collation principle of majority text or the received text, which was an earlier effort to collate the manuscripts. That means when all available copies of the original scriptures are put together, if there are any differences, choose the pile with the majority of agreement, which in most cases is in the high 90 percentile of agreement. Otherwise, you're being selective and subjective, choosing according to arbitrary criteria. Let's illustrate it this way. If a courtroom was hearing from 100 witnesses about some event and 98 agreed on the details, while 2 disagreed, who would you believe? The 98 witnesses or 2? Of course, you would agree with the 98. To follow the 2 would be the minority principle in Bible collation, whereas to follow the 98 would be the majority principle. The KJV is translated from the received text, which follows the majority method. I have full confidence that it is translated from a faithful and dependable text. Fifthly, its language is beautiful, majestic, reverent, and its prose helps with memorization. Its words just roll off the tongue. Even little children soon get over the these and thous. They only add to the reverence of the Bible and help us handle God's word in awe of a holy God who calls us to worship him in spirit and truth. By the way, the italic shows the reverence which the translators had for the word of God when they italicized any words which were inserted to smooth the reading of a sentence. That's because they believed that every word of God is pure, God-breathed and not to be added to nor taken away from. That's why I love my new KJV Bible. You should get one too. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.